Hey guys, there's only 10 tickets left to our live podcast on October 7th in Los Angeles, California. It's at the Hollywood Improv. 10 tickets left. Don't wait. Get them now. It's going to sell out. Click the link in the description of this podcast for tickets. This episode is brought to you by Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. One of the best parts about the Robinhood app is that there's no commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all your profits. I'm pretty clueless when it comes to this stuff, and that's why I like Robinhood. They make it so easy. The design of it, super easy to use, so user-friendly. Get on it right now. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at sorrydad.robinhood.com. That's sorrydad.robinhood.com. And this is exciting. Just last night, I posted our first ever bonus episode to our Patreon page. I'm going to be doing a bonus episode once a week on patreon.com/I'm Sorry Dad. It'll be a little different from the show. Brandon might not be there. Might just be me talking about my life, talking about you, answering emails, all that good stuff. So patreon.com/I'm Sorry Dad for bonus content. Just $5 a month gets you pod vlogs and one bonus episode every week. Patreon.com/I'm Sorry Dad. Thank you. And no worries if you can't donate. We still love you. All right, let's start the show. Do you guys remember about a month ago, we featured some videos on the podcast from the Arby's guy, or Onyx the Fortuitist, the nerdy guy at Arby's, the nerdy guy at the gaming convention, where he would say, I don't know. And Brandon and I were like, who is this guy? Brandon thought he was an actor. I thought he was an actual nerd. Well, guess what? Through your help, we found him. You guys tweeted us his actual handle. And we found out who he is, we found out where he is, and then we got him into our apartment, and he's still here. He's tied up in my closet, and we're going to kill him. Part of that wasn't true. You decide which part. We found the Arby's guy. His name is Andrew Bowser, and I can tell you more, but you're about to find out. Is he real? Is he fake? Is he really that nerdy? Or is he just doing a character? You're about to motherfucking find out, y'all. All right. That was annoying. All right, enjoy this episode of I'm Sorry Dad podcast with Andrew Bowser. Thank you. You gave me clap.
See, I was going to reach for that really low-hanging fruit, but you just grabbed it and ate it and then shat it out and then ate the shit.
Yeah, and I flubbed it, too. I almost missed it. That's the high-end comedy that you're going to be experiencing today, Andrew Bowser, if you are really Andrew Bowser.
I may not be.
We got the Arby's guy.
We got the Arby's
guy. We got him.
We got him, folks. And I got to say, you're really acting normal right now.
Yeah.
You don't seem like a nerd at all. So,
wow.
You're a skilled actor.
Thank you.
And not... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
You're a goddamn chameleon.
I'm suppressing every nervous tick.
Yeah.
And anxious, catchphrase.
So
currently.
It's great to meet you in person.
Good to
glad
be
we're
here.
In touch.
Yeah.
We had some fun with your videos on the pod.
Nice.
This is very strange.
Now,
we were just watching one of yours like three weeks ago.
Yeah.
And people loved it. And we were both very intrigued by it. And then we had some original theories as to what was going on. Then I did some studying last night. I studied the videos. Then I was like, I know what's happening. But before we talk about our old theories and maybe new theories, let's check out the Arby's video.
Okay, sure.
There's been Julie Bonovich joins us live. And Julie, what happened out there?
Well, Dave and Glenda, they just finished boarding up the window pane and part of the wall here. This is a very busy Arby's. It sits right here in Woodward in Royal Oak near 13 Mile Road. So as you can imagine, there are quite a few people inside at the time.
The big window went pop and there was this glass everywhere. That was the loudest bang I had ever heard. It sounded like an explosion.
I thought perhaps the end of days was upon us, but it turned out it was just a disoriented old lady in a champagne-colored Toyota Avalon crashing into my world like DMB circa 1996. Who's got got their claws in you, my friend. Into your heart, I'll beat again.
Just before 2 p.m., an elderly woman drove into the side of the restaurant.
All right, so I saw
that's
that.
That's all you need. Right?
All right, you can go now.
You get it. Yeah, yeah.
I saw that, and I was like, whoa. I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. I want to go to this Arby's.
Yeah.
And then I was also like, hey, he knows DMB. I used to be a huge Dave Matthews Band fan.
Right.
He connected with you on that level.
That's great.
DMB fans connect so heavily with one another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just.
We go deep.
Yeah.
And then I fucking met you today, and I realized that that's not the real you. So get out of my apartment.
Yeah. It's a letdown. I know. But how freaked out would you have been if that guy had walked in? I think you would have been as excited as you may have been.
Right? I'd be like, this is going to be an uncomfortable episode.
Yeah.
And then we watched your video game convention thing.
Yeah, E3.
And you killed it on there. And then Brandon and I concluded, it's like, this is a really funny guy, but this is like mostly the real him, but he's got some stock lines ready to go. Like when you go on those tangents, it was like, he's said that before.
Right.
But I think he's real.
Gotcha.
And sure, maybe he's a comedian, but I think he's also a huge nerd.
Yeah.
So that was my theory at first. And Brandon just thought it was all a ruse.
No, I knew you were acting.
Yeah.
I was like, come on. Like, there's nobody, nobody acts. I mean, people act like that, but it was the fact that you did, was it two videos? With the same.
More. Well, there's probably about five or six of
five
that
or six.
Style now.
Yeah.
The news videos, yeah.
I was like, five of the same, like, this guy, like, how do interviewers keep finding you? Like, yeah. I was like, how do they just keep finding you? And, so I was like, okay, he's probably a very skilled actor, and he's acting.
Yeah.
And he's playing a character. And then when I saw you at Dave's Hot Chicken.
or my doppelganger,
When I saw your doppelganger at Dave's Hot Chicken, and you were just sitting there eating your chicken, I was like, he's not.
It's like a fucking fraud.
Yeah, he's a fraud.
Right. I can tell you now.
Wait. Don't give anything away yet.
No, I was going to talk about Dave's Hot Chicken.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
that,
go ahead.
It definitely wasn't me, Dave's Hot Chicken, only because I've been on this keto diet for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to have anything like that. But I have a question. Was the guy you saw at Dave's Hot Chicken, because I actually have people tell me often that they saw me somewhere that I don't think I was.
Yeah.
Did it look more like that guy or look more like this guy?
Look more like this guy.
Like this guy.
Yeah,
okay.
The guy I'm seeing right now.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And dude, Andrew, it's okay to break your diet.
Have broken my diet and I'm trying to hide it. Yeah, yeah. You didn't see me that.
Swear
to God. Wasn't me, dude. I'm keto.
Yeah. Keto through and through, man. Back off.
I got the keto flu right now. So I actually saw the convention video first.
Okay.
And then I found the Arby's thing and I was like, if this is fake, then how is he like, so he also works at Arby's and happened to be there during a shoot?
Yeah.
But then I studied him last night and I watched some other ones and now I have a new theory.
Okay.
And it's that you're a fucking fraud, dude.
I mean, you're right on many fronts probably, but what's the newest theory, the details?
The details are you're a very skilled actor. Granted, I saw you on Twitter and stuff, so I was like, oh, he's a director and an actor.
Right.
So I was like, all right, he's an actor. But then, like, how did you do the Arby's thing? Does he work at Arby's? But then I realized, and I think this is true, I also noticed you're very good at editing through your reel that you sent me. So I was like, all right. And also, the newscasters weren't reacting to you.
Right.
They weren't like, that guy's weird. They're like, okay, thank you. Moving on.
Yeah.
So I think you found the Arby's news footage and then just put yourself in it. Is this correct?
It depends what you mean by put yourself in it.
Like you filmed yourself outside an Arby's with an Arby's uniform.
Yes.
And then and then put it into a real news
An Arby's
story.
Uniform that I rented from an Arby's employee moments before. Or the night before, actually. Yes. So do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
I mean,
go for it.
So basically, not to get too deep in the weeds on like the history of this character, but
no, do it.
The first video was the weird gamer guy that was filmed at E3, and I think it was filmed in 2012. And I had been working for a place called Break.com as an editor and producer, but I had always been doing my own sketches and characters and stuff. And Break was never going to allow me to make videos for them. I was just an editor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at E3 to edit some of their recap footage. You know, we're Break.com, you're at E3, blah, blah, blah. So I would always have to make packages like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had come up with this character because I think at that point I was doing improv classes and was like feeling pretty juiced up on being funny or trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. And I had an idea to do a character. I don't know was the beginning of the character. A character that was just so insecure that even if he said something that was very much true, like, what's your favorite video game? I don't know. Diablo? I don't know. And it's, well, no, it is Diablo. You know it's Diablo.
Yeah.
So that was the start of it. And then I shot, the E3 video was entirely shot by me and my little crew.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So that was more of like, the whole thing was fabricated. The company was called Game Smash, and the host was actually my improv partner.
Gotcha.
And we interviewed real people and then interviewed Mark or Onyx. Gotcha. So that one's kind of entirely faked. Game Smash doesn't exist. You know, that package doesn't live anywhere else other than on the channel that I created to post it.
Oh, all right.
But then what wound up happening was I have always been like detrimentally dedicated to whatever comedy logic I think will make the thing work the best. So I purposely put it on a fake channel and didn't credit anybody and didn't say anything. And I was like, this thing's going to go viral because everyone's going to think it's real. So Game Smash was the channel, and I created a fake Twitter account for the host, and then nobody watched it. It just sat with no views for like a year. But then somehow at E3 the following year, 2013, it got on Reddit and upvoted and went viral. And then my friends where I work were like, you should do this again. But that character had just been kind of dormant because the E3 video didn't pop for a fucking year. Mm-hmm. And I do a podcast called Bizarre States, which is all about supernatural. And I had seen this report on the Satanic Temple in Detroit. They were putting up a Baphomet statue. And as an editor, I was able to look at that and realize, oh, they're lower third. Like, you could just roto that out, you know, add in that background noise, and we could film it on any street, my footage,
right,
and splice it in. And so the weird Satanist guy was me filmed on a street in Burbank, spliced in with the news footage.
Gotcha.
And that's the same format for the Arby's video.
Yeah.
That we filmed in front of the Arby's on Sunset. And spliced it into the Arby's news video.
Sweet.
But they each kind of have a different format. Sometimes it is that I just make the whole video. Mm. Like we did an E3 one this year, and it was... Oh, fuck. And it was... we shot the whole fake video.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. And some people might be like, oh, he's fake, fraud.
Yeah, I was about to say, so you're a goddamn liar, huh?
Well, that's the thing is, I get comments, you know, emails all the time. They're like, I thought you were real. Fuck you, dude. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, it's not... I mean... The weird thing is, yes, I was trying to trick you, the viewer or whoever, but it was always just because I thought that was the best way to, like, receive the character.
Yeah.
It was always about the joke of it or the comedy of it, and it just felt funnier if it was real.
Totally.
So I'm always a little bit like, well, but now you discovered something that you think is funny. Isn't that just as fulfilling? But they're like, no, it'd have been better if you were real.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but then would you go and meet that guy? Like, at least if I'm a sketch comedian, there'll be more of those videos. But if he's just a real guy, you know, you're dealing with a fucking nutcase.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to want to hang out.
Becomes
with
a safety hazard almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both Brandon and I used to make a lot of Vine videos. Mm-hmm. And I would do a lot of public interactions, and like half of them are staged.
Yeah.
Half are real. And people would get pissed at me when they, like, could notice that it was staged.
Right.
I was like, fake!
Right.
I was like, dude, I'm just trying to entertain people here.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, it's more for me about the conceptually, this energy was cultivated, and now it's fun to view in that context. Who cares if, right. There's a lot of man on the street stuff that's, if it's not staged, there's plants that are still
totally
there because they've already signed their releases, and they know what reaction to try and give.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the chemistry of it is still real.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
It's still funny.
Right. Yeah.
But you're right. The delivering it in that package of like, this is a real guy, that makes it funnier.
Yeah. What bothers me more, not that this is anything to talk about, but what bothers me more is like prank videos that are fake, because I feel like they aren't necessarily about yielding comedic fruit. It is like, dude, I just told my girlfriend our kid died, you know? And what's the point of that?
Well, that's based solely, like, the entertainment is based solely on the reactions. The only reason the reaction is good is because you think it's real.
Right.
So, like, there's nothing else but the reactions. And if the reaction's fake, then it's
the thing doesn't exist.
Yeah, then it's not even a thing.
Yeah. Whereas the comedy should still be there, even if you find out it was scripted or
yeah.
that I wrote it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think it's awesome. Super creative. It reminds me of, you know, I love when comedians just fuck with people. Not that you're, like, fucking with people, but you can say you're trying to trick people a little bit.
Well, and I do like when, I will admit, especially with the weird Satanist guy, people get really enraged over the religious aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I do like that. I like that they're engaging with something that I completely made up.
Yeah.
But for them, they're like, fuck that guy. He's going to go to fucking hell. I got a message once on Facebook that was like, the devil's going to fuck you in your ass in hell. And I was like, you know, he's not a real guy, right? I mean, my character or
the devil.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But yeah, like, I like that they're angry about something that doesn't exist. That yeah, does bring me a weird amount of pleasure. I don't know if that's like ego or what, that I like pulled one over on people that I think maybe a little.
I feel you. I like to... beat the system, as they say.
Right.
Or just, like, fuck with people.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, something I did like that. But, so how did that character come about?
Well, it was just initially coming up with the idea of a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Which kind of sounds like a shitty way to build a character, because usually by the time they're just a catchphrase, they're pretty reductive and boring. But it just started with the catchphrase. And if you watch them, at least for me, as the guy doing it, if you watch them in like chronological order, which would be E3 weird gamer guy, then weird Satanist guy, then weird Arby's guy, then I think I did weird furry guy, and then I did weird sinkhole guy.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, he gets more defined as he goes. As far as when I look at weird Arby's guy, all I think about is how slow he's talking, because now by the time I do the character, he talks so fast. Weird Satanist guy, too. He's like, I forget what I wish he would recognize me and see me as his own or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all so fucking slow, whereas now he's fucking fast right out the gate. And his wig is different. And his mannerisms are a little more refined. Yeah. Like those initial wigs, he looks like, it's like Johnny Depp in Dark Shadows. It's just like little wisps of.
So it's the same, in your head, it's the same character. It's always the same character.
He's the same guy. His name is Mark Trilbury. And his gamer tag is Onyx the Fortuitous.
Mm-hmm.
So whether he's weird gamer guy or weird furry guy, it's always Mark.
It's always him.
It's just him at different events that fit his kind of subculture leanings.
Yeah, I was catching on to the catchphrases in the sinkholes video.
Yeah.
So we're like, I don't know.
Something's
sinkholes
pretty
are pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said, I don't know. Arby's is pretty cool.
Right, yeah. And the truth is... now he, for me, is more of a defined character that I would want to do, like, narrative stuff with, and not just that format. But I know in those videos, it was as he was forming, so some of them are pretty different iterations. I did one at Comic-Con that was called Weird Comic-Con Guy, but no one cares for me to say it, but it's not canon anymore. Because
in the Weird Guy universe?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the Weird Guy universe that only I have eyes on or care about. But it was the first one after Weird Gamer Guy, and I didn't even wear the wig. Because in my mind, it wasn't a formed character yet. I was like, oh, it's just a weird character, and I would do any weird character. But Weird Comic-Con Guy, I think I may have even taken it down. I don't even know if he said, I don't know, or had any of those... But he still spoke in the same cadence, but didn't have the wig, just had like a beanie on and a Firefly shirt. I don't know. But that's
hey, not, you did it.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But that's not.
That's how it starts.
That's how it starts. Yep. Yeah.
It all started in math class where I didn't know the answer to a question.
Exactly. Yeah.
And everyone laughed.
Mm-hmm.
So, what the fuck is I going to ask? Oh, can you give us a taste of the character?
Of him? Well, the hardest thing about doing him is he's so verbose. People think I'm improvising sometimes. It's never improvised.
Right. Those lines seem really tough.
They're very tough and memorized, and I get really, really fucking angry when I fuck up. Because we're always in situations where you know, like filming at that Arby's, there's people coming by and pulling into the drive-thru. And I'm out there saying, like DMB, circa 1995. And then I fuck up, and I get so fucking angry and drop character and yell at myself. So it's hard to do. I can't, like, do a long riff as him, but I can say...
Sure. Little taste.
Yeah, let's see. I don't know. This podcast is pretty cool. That's basically it, as long
don't
as
don't ask him to work while, on the podcast.
Oh, I don't care. I don't care doing something like that. I mean, his thing is just having a really stressed out face and you know, really worried eyes. And he's always, whenever I do him, I realize by the end of it, my hands are like, they feel arthritic and like tense because he's always tensing everything and I'm exhausted. You'd think I was like fucking, you know, playing a boxer or something because it like drains me. I'm also horribly out of shape, but he's just, everything is tense in his body and everything is, you know, he never fucking relaxes. Yeah. And people have had me do him in character before for like a live stream and I get claustrophobic because I had to do a 2-hour live stream once and they were like, just come on as Onyx. And it was like a tabletop gaming thing. And they also assume I'm as much of a nerd as him. So they were like, yeah, we're going to play something, something. And I was like, I've never played that. And they're like, really? Like, no. I mean, it was like Settlers of Catan or something. So I had to play in character a game I'd never played before. And I realized as soon as it started and my face was as tense as it is for him, I was like, oh, I have to stay like this for 2 hours. It fucking stressed me out. You just can't relax. It'd be nice if it was like a nice chilled out character.
So you said that it's, you don't really... You're not as big of a nerd as him. So to you, is it like kind of like a satire of that kind of guy?
Well,
like the whole character?
I wouldn't say it's, I'd say what it is more is it's like a manifestation of my seventh grade self or something. Because I had a boss once who was like, yeah, no, it's great. And you're like making fun of those guys. And I kind of took offense, but I guess I am in some way making fun of that.
Sure, yeah.
But maybe I just have a hard time reconciling that because I'd like to think I'm like a nicer guy than that. But maybe I am lampooning that culture.
I totally saw that in the E3 video. You're like, the way that you were like I forgot what you said. I almost want you to play it, Oliver. Only because like there's this one part where you're basically saying like you play video games to like escape.
And I think in the beginning, that had to be kind of the inroad was like, I'm lampooning that culture.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now that it's grown to be more of a manifestation of a part of me and I love him so much, I'm always hesitant to say I'm making fun. And I've tried to give him a little more depth now, but I think it's also a way of like exercising the insecurities and anxieties that some that I still have, but that I definitely had as like a middle school kid.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I was a nerd and am a nerd, but I've never been this deep into gaming or,
Let's check out part of this video.
That was a lot. I don't know. Maybe.
Do you consider yourself a pretty big gamer?
No. No, no, no. Yes.
What's your favorite game?
I don't know. This one?
Diablo. I played Diablo 3 last night. It was awesome. It was super fun. Yeah.
Well, I only play in hardcore mode when protecting the Black Soul Stone, so I wouldn't really call it super fun as much as it is the most intense thing of all time. I don't know.
I love playing Resident Evil 6. I just played it right now. It's amazing.
We played the Wii Dance. It's actually kind of fun.
They're What's hot. Your favorite part about gaming?
There it is. I don't know. It's just, it's like the escape. I don't know.
I can definitely see that, you know, just kind of a break from reality for a little bit, you know, travel to distant lands, definitely.
Yeah, it's just like going to other worlds, you know, like other dimensions where you aren't rejected all the time. I don't know. I don't know, like other worlds where your dad still sees you as his own. Maybe I'm not Mark who works at Arby's. Maybe I'm Onyx the Fortuitous, Slayer of the Bright Realm. I don't know.
We love E3!
Like that's
for sure.
It's great.
That does look physically taxing.
Yeah,
just like your mouth alone.
And even still, I'm looking at that, I'm like, he's speaking so slow. Now I would be like, protecting the Black Soul Stone. You know, everything would be like fucking... But he jokes a lot about... I think in the beginning it was maybe even a little too on the nose of like, I live in my mother's basement and I drink tiny wines. And now, and even in that, there's like a throwaway joke about his father not seeing him as his own. And now I'm actually trying to like build out a web series about, well, what if that character did meet his father and have to have a relationship with him? So I'm trying to kind of unpack it and see if there's actually like a narrative
In that character.
In that character, nice. Yeah.
See, when I was watching that one and you were saying like, it's an escape or like in the father comment in the basement. I was like, oh, he's a huge nerd, but he's making fun of himself.
Right.
This is before I knew you were a fucking fraud.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's not forget. Well, I got a message once that said, I don't know, one of the videos people were saying, oh, he's really like this. One guy said, Because all the videos have, except for the E3 one really, have wound up being in Detroit. The Sinkhole one, the Arby's one, and the Satanist one. And so I've seen messages from people saying, oh, no, dude, that guy's really like that. I've been to that Arby's where he works. And other people will say, no, he's not exactly like that, but for the most part he is, but he is also an actor. So but that's a weirder blend to me, to think that I feel like I may have even, like, lost out on opportunities because people think I am just like that. Like, I did a really small experimental movie once where I played this alcoholic mess of a guy, and it was like a found footage thing. And I had a few meetings off of it. It went nowhere. But at one of those meetings, the person I was meeting with was like, I'm glad to see you're not that guy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, yeah, it was a movie.
Yeah.
And like, no, I know, but it was like found footage and it just felt real and messy. And I thought you were going to walk in here, you know, drunk from the night before.
So you're like, are you stupid?
Right. Yeah. I took it as a compliment.
Yeah. Totally.
But also, it would be terrifying to show up to a pitch meeting. Mm. And that was the guy you're talking to. Like, I had a show. It's about my cats. I mean, you know, there'd be runway there.
And just when you did the little example of the character, you stressed me out just from you doing
that. Oh, of course.
Just like your face.
Yeah.
Like, well, chill, dude.
I know.
I've had people approach me in the street from knowing me from Vine.
Yeah.
Like, right, dude. And I'm like, hey, what's up, man? He's like, whoa, you're so calm.
Totally.
I was like, yeah, I'm not a psycho. Like,
I know.
In real life.
Well, I think, you really do, especially if the characters and bits you do are high energy.
Yeah, super high.
Right. Then people don't understand most, at least for me, most of the rest of the time is low energy.
Yeah.
Like I, on the podcast that I do about the supernatural.
It's just super boring.
It's super fucking boring. And I'm, you know, half asleep. No, but I'm actually more of the kind of chilled out. Everything's a little slower. I like, being on camera is when things get ramped up.
Right.
But for the most part, I mean, I am a stressed out person and I get angry, but I don't stay at that level of,
right.
I've never been the type of person that was like a performer all the time, you know?
That's good.
Like friends you have probably that
I'm sure
are
you
like
appreciate that.
Always on. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure your friends appreciate that.
Yeah, I had stand-up buddies that were always like, what's up, dude? Crazy thing just happened to me. And they would launch into a bit. And I'm like, let's just fucking have coffee.
Right.
Yeah.
I would love to see you in character and then get furious because you flipped a line.
Oh,
that'd be hilarious.
I was thinking of putting outtakes up, but then I think it would be, at least right now, if you don't find my sketches and find the other stuff I do, the videos can kind of live in a world where you think he's real.
Yeah.
But I think if I put up outtakes, it would maybe break it too much.
You'd break hearts.
Break hearts. People would be
dreams.
Crying. Yeah. But they are fucking funny because I get so fucking angry.
I bet. Do you swear a lot? Like, fuck!
Oh, yeah, yeah. And my thing when I swear is I specifically say, fuck my ass or fuck my dick. That's like my go-to. And I don't mean like, fuck it sexually. I mean like, damn it. Like, fuck my ass. Damn my fucking ass.
Fuck your dick.
Fuck my dick. Yeah. So I'll go from like, that's when I knew. When I saw her breaking through, fuck my dick. And I'm like still kind of in character.
I think you're just horny, dude.
Maybe.
Like, please fuck my
dick.
That
could be it. There's something like Freudian and subconscious going on. Yeah. For sure.
Brendan, what's your go-to swear?
Swear, freak
super
out.
Angry.
Shit, fuck my ass.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's always shit, fuck my ass.
Shit,
shit, fuck my ass.
Mm-hmm.
It's like shit, comma, fuck my ass.
Totally.
Yeah. Or shit, fuck. Like, I don't know what a shit fuck is, but like shit fucking. So
there's
shit,
something
very
satisfactory about combining cuss words that don't really connect.
Yeah.
Just randomly throwing them together.
Mm-hmm. When I get angry, I take the racist route.
Oh, cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
Right. But only just towards yourself.
No, I know. I go.
Dumb fucking cracker.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Dumb cracker.
I would love to see outtakes like that of you.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Put those on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'll
sit back and wait for those likes.
Yeah. I get super racist, and sometimes I hit women.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's good. There goes
anyways,
my career.
We were going to let that silence just ring out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get to know the real you.
Okay.
You told me you're from Maryland.
I am.
Your father is from
Dorchester.
Which is proud of Boston. My mom's from there too.
Why is everyone from Boston that we have on the show? It feels like everyone's from Boston,
right?
Everyone's from fucking Boston.
Is there a problem with that?
No, it's not. It's just I feel like you're intentionally picking guests that are from Boston.
No,
it's bullshit. It sucks. Get an Orange County boy in that chair.
Is that where you're from?
Yeah. I want a fucking Orange County boy in that chair.
Yeah. Orange County boy.
Get an Orange County guy in that chair so I can talk to him about Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Just a random, like literally pull a guy off the street in Orange County. Yeah. Sit him down here.
Yeah.
What do you do?
We have some talk. Yeah. We talk a bro talk.
I work at Islands.
Yeah. I work at Islands.
What's that?
It's just a like mall. Come on, man. You're from Boston. At least you're a little OC cultured.
I'm from Maryland, but yeah.
Yeah, you're a little OC cultured. Islands is a restaurant they have the burgers.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, like it's a good Hawaiian burger at Islands.
Yeah. Right?
All right. Cool.
Dumb fuck.
Wow. Man. Sorry about him. He's got a headache.
I'm on his side. Trust me.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're alone in this.
Yeah.
You're entirely alone.
But I found out, his dad is from Dorchester, which is part of Boston. My mother grew up in Dorchester. Mm. We're going to figure out if they went to high school together.
Yeah.
Maybe my mom lost her virginity to your dad.
Who knows? Wouldn't that be a wild world?
Yeah, it would.
I'm going to check my phone intermittently to see where my dad went to high school to see if they were nearby.
Mm. Yeah.
I do think, I mean, she went to a Catholic school, right? Yeah. I think my dad went to a Catholic high school.
I think everybody. Fucking body of Christ. Amen. So you grew up in Maryland.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing comedy?
Well, I grew up doing like the child actor thing, and I would go to New York for auditions and never really booked anything. There's an episode of Homicide: Life on the Street, this old NBC show that was like a spinoff of Law and Order, where Elijah Wood played a guy that convinced my character to kill a guy.
Nice.
That was my big claim to fame.
Cool.
So I booked that, and then I retired as a child actor. Mm. No, I did a bunch of theater and always liked being funny or, you know, trying. Mm-hmm. I was one of those annoying kids that was doing like Chris Farley impressions and shit like that. But then I went to film school. I realized I wanted to be a writer director. So I went to SVA, the School of Visual Arts in New York. And then there wound up kind of being like the guy in the film class who could also act. So all my friends would put me in their shorts.
Nice.
So as much as I wasn't really gonna keep trying to be an actor, I just kept going in a very small way, being in my friend's shorts, and then moved back to Maryland because I ran out of money to finish film school, and back in Maryland started shooting my own videos.
Nice.
And you know, they were closer to like Jackass than sketches. Yeah. But then they started to take the shape of sketches and made a short that then kind of brought me to LA, and it was this short comedy thing about a guy. It was before Kick-Ass, but it was about a guy that wanted to be a superhero. And it was so funny because the superhero thing hadn't become what it is now. No one had really been deconstructing it and doing it from all angles. And so I would pitch this thing and they would be like, nobody wants to see like a subverted superhero world. Mm,
right.
Like, are you Batman? And I was like, well, no, but he wants to be. And that was like, get the fuck out. And now it's like all we do is subvert it and try to find another way into the superhero genre.
Yeah.
And now there's been a million Kick-Ass type things.
Yep.
So, anyway, then being in LA, started doing improv classes and doing more of my own sketches on my own YouTube channel. And
where'd you do improv in LA?
I just took classes at UCB.
Cool.
And then from there, never got on a team, but from there just did like indie shows with my friends from that class.
Yeah, cool.
One of which is the performer that's in the E3 video.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I was always directing, and in Maryland was directing music videos, and so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched your first reel. You've done some legit music videos. Who have you worked with? I forget.
Well, back in the... In D.C., before I moved to L.A., I not really carved out a niche, but I started to work with the record label Fueled by Ramen. So they had like Fall Out Boy and Gym Class Heroes and these bands.
Nice.
And it was right around that time of like emo, pop, punk stuff was kind of taking over.
It's like 2006?
Yeah, it was. It was like 2000. It was actually exactly 2003 to 2006
because
then I moved to L.A. in 2007. And so I was directing music videos for bands like that. I did a Gym Class Heroes video with like Patrick from Fall Out Boy. And, you know, there was never any. It was right around the time of that OK Go video that was one of the first viral music videos, mm-hmm. just them on treadmills.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody was like, we don't need to spend money on a music video. Just do something like that. And I'd always tell them, like, well, but what, finding a concept that is that easy and that cheap that will also be viral, like, can you imagine that video now wouldn't be viral? Mm-hmm. They're dancing on treadmills. Who gives a fuck? We've seen a million crazier one-take videos
or
high-concept music videos. But back then, that's what everyone was looking for. So the budgets that I was working with were, like, nothing. Uh-huh. But, yeah, but it at least kind of led to me continuing down the directing path. And now I do much more directing in the digital space than I do acting. Like,
and,
I don't...
And now the new... Your new claim to fame, you're on I'm Sorry Dad podcast.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I consider myself the Elijah Wood of podcasting.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that the second I walked in.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like Frodo, something like that.
Frodo?
Or Gandalf?
Frodo is the name of Elijah Wood's character, yeah, you my bad. Dumb fuck.
Right, so he would be Samwise if you're times, Frodo.
You dumb fuck.
First Islands and now this.
God damn it.
Woo!
It's Frodo from the OC. Sorry.
Fucking should be.
He is, yeah.
He is.
In spirit, he is.
Is there any Jim Carrey influence to your Onyx character?
Well,
it's like DMB.
Right. I never thought, about that. Yeah.
No? All right.
But no, I mean, there probably is. There, I mean, I was obsessed with him, and I Living Color was like a huge thing for me.
Nice.
So it's got to be in there somewhere.
Probably.
A lot of people watch him, and meaning Onyx, and they think of Bruce McCullough from Kids in the Hall, which is also a huge influence on me.
Yeah.
Like when those did go to Comedy Central, I would watch those.
I never got into that. Do you know Kids in the Hall?
Man.
I know Whitest Kids, you know.
I went to school with them.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. They went to SVA. They were we were there the exact same time.
Mm, gotcha. Who were Kids in the Hall then?
Kids in the Hall was a Canadian troupe. Mm. And they eventually had their show. I think it was originally on the Canadian Broadcasting Channel, but then it went to HBO and then Comedy Central. And I just happened to catch it right when it was on Comedy Central, when the reruns from their Canadian show were on Comedy Central. And specifically Bruce McCullough's characters, like the character named Gavin, he's this guy, this kid on the right of what we're looking at right now. He's got a backpack. People say Onyx reminds them of Gavin.
Okay.
And even if we don't, on the surface, in the DNA of the character, definitely Gavin from Kids in the Hall is there. Gavin was a character that would just go up to people, very verbose, talk a lot, but he was more extroverted. But he would go up to people and be like, oh, what's that? My dad's a musician. Yeah, I used to work with the Rolling Stones. And then he would just rant about whatever thing, and the people would be like, cool, Gavin, you can leave now. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, my mom's not going to be home for hours and hours. And that definitely is in Onyx somewhere.
Gotcha.
There's got to be some Jim Carrey, too, yeah.
Well, dude, you're good with your voice, because that Onyx character, very impressive.
Thank you.
Those runs you do.
Yeah.
Fucking, I can't do it. I tried to, like, reenact that character, but I can't do it. And I'm a genius comedian, too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to keep all those words in my mouth.
Let's deviate from the subject a little bit.
For sure.
Go back to superheroes.
No doubt.
I was just doing some like emails and shit last night. I put on Spider-Man 3.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Netflix.
Sure.
How do we feel about that movie?
I have no problem with it at all. I have.
Really?
I don't understand everyone's problem with it.
It's a hot take.
Really? It's Spider-Man. It's the same to me as Spider-Man 2 and 1. It's the same movie. I mean, it's not the same movie. It's. I would even say it's a little bit more interesting because I know everyone's problem with it was that it had three villains. Or how many villains? It's like just too many villains.
There's Venom and there's Sandman.
And then there's...
And who else is
And there? Then Osborn. The Green Goblin.
The new Green Goblin.
The new Green Goblin.
Son, yeah.
So I was like, I don't know. It feels like a comic book movie.
Right.
Like I didn't see... And I mean, sure, when he's dancing, it's silly. But like, I'm like, oh, it's silly. It's fine. It's supposed to be fun. Like, why is this shit supposed to be taken so seriously? I want to feel like this is fun. I mean, it can get dark, but for the most part, it's silly fucking man in spandex who's flying across buildings.
Totally.
I'm not looking for fucking There Will Be Blood here. I'm looking for some You know, I'm looking for some fun.
One of my first jobs when I moved to LA was to review, you know, like when they'll have a parent's guide on IMDb and it says what violence is in there, what sex, what language.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for a company that like helped build out those family reviews. And so I got to go to screenings and I really loved Spider-Man 1 and 2. And I'm a huge I'm a huge horror fan and a big Sam Raimi fan.
Evil Dead.
Yeah.
You like Evil Dead?
Okay. Love it. Love it to death. And so I was all on board. I just wanted Sam Raimi to become a giant successful director because I loved him for so long. But I got an early an invite to an early screening of Spider-Man 3, and it rocked my world in the worst sense. I mean, I was one of those people that was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But I love Topher Grace, oddly. I was like, oh, I'm on board for Topher Grace as Venom.
Sure.
But I think it, I don't know, I don't even remember what my problems were with it now. Obviously the silly, like the dancing and stuff.
Yeah, the silliness. And
but something just, I just remember in the theater feeling like it just went off the rails for me.
Really?
I don't know if I'd feel like that now if I rewatched it though.
I also saw it when I was 13, 14.
Right.
So when I watched it, it was like, holy shit, Spider-Man 3, this is the end of this trilogy or whatever. And like, I don't know. To me, maybe that influences how I view it now.
Yeah.
Because I didn't view. How old were you when you saw it?
Oh, I was already like 22.
You were like 20. So if I saw it when I was 22, I'd probably be like, it's a piece of shit. But like, but now I have that like fond memory of seeing it in the theater. And then when I watch it now, I'm like, oh, it's fun. It's fine. It's congested. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's one of those things of like, Spider-Man 2 is really good.
Because
it's so, it's like the action scenes in that are so well crafted.
Yeah.
And like, it's just got like a good superhero story. But I'm like, okay, well, they can add three villains. I don't mind that. It didn't feel too congested to me. But you're about to say something. I cut you off.
I was like half watching it last night. And then the dancing scene came up. Has that become like a meme or something?
Yeah, it's a meme.
Yeah, I mean, that is for most people is when that movie jumps the shark.
Okay.
It becomes like a shit fest.
But that did catch my attention. There's like a music changer. Look up, it's Toby like walking on the street.
Yeah.
Like with no swagger, like
he was struggling. Cringy about it. Yeah,
is that he's? Yeah,
he was struggling with that walk.
But it almost felt like it feels like because Spider, what's his name?
Peter Parker.
Peter Parker is such a not that guy that Venom can't even get him to do that properly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's what I saw from it. Was like he's so nerdy that he can't even do that well. I don't think that's even Tobey Maguire being like not doing it well.
Right.
I always thought it as Peter Parker's
so
nerdy.
It was actually a meta decision of...
I thought. Was like, oh, he's just so nerdy that he can't, Venom can't do this to him.
Yeah, I thought about that. I was like, he's not pulling this off. I was like, oh, buddy, he's a nerd.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's possible. Even with an alien symbiote, he's still a nerd. Yeah.
And I loved how it was just, he put his hair down.
Right.
He's like, I'm bad now.
And also,
I'm bad.
I want to rewatch it because Sam Raimi has a great sense of humor. So you would assume any humor in that movie is intentional.
Totally.
So I think at the time, maybe I even knew like less about Sam Raimi's work, but maybe watching it now, I'd be able to see its cynicism and its humor more.
That's the thing.
Know.
It's just like that. I don't know if people, I don't know if the people who watch that scene with him dancing or if they're supposed to
Can you look up the dancing scene?
I don't know if when they're watching it, they're like, oh, is this supposed to be like badass? It's so stupid. It's like, no, it's supposed to be silly.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like clearly like the same with you as like Sam Raimi, like Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Well, not Evil Dead 1, but Evil Dead 2. It's a really funny movie.
Right. It would be like if somebody was like, dude, Evil Dead 2 is like so corny.
Yeah.
Like, well,
but it's like, it's
not corny. That is all completely calculated.
Totally. Yeah. And what was the Army of Darkness?
Uh-huh.
Like that's totally like Evil Dead 2 is like slightly a comedy. And then like, Army of Darkness is just like comedy now.
For sure.
So like, obviously this is supposed to be a comedic scene.
His evil dance scene.
Let's check out this dance
scene. Evil dance scene.
And I will say, I always liked Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker.
Me too.
Me too. Me too. He was perfect.
Yeah, I always loved it.
I haven't seen the new one, so I don't know if he's better.
No. Of course not.
He really cannot keep a beat, though. He's really...
I like how the girls are all turning around, too.
Yeah.
Like, look how sexy this man is.
Your shots are so good.
I'd love to shoot you sometime.
Oh.
Peter Parker.
See, it's working on her.
Parker! Miss Brent!
That's a cool...
That's not the place I hired you for.
Black suits, Batman. Peter, these are incredible. You gotta have these, Jonah.
I'll pay you the usual rate.
Lord,
I want the shots, I'll take the staff job. Double the money.
See, these girls don't like him.
Some girls are really into him, and then some fucking hate him.
Jesus.
Yikes.
Nice. Check out his jeans here. I took note when I watched it. Nice wide jeans.
It's a.
Here's this last. You can tell he practiced this move coming up.
Oh, yikes.
Dude, I remember in the theater, everyone laughing during this scene, but really? I thought it was supposed to be funny. I was like, this is supposed to be funny.
It's an oddly low energy sequence for something that's supposed to feel pretty high energy.
Yeah.
Just long takes of close-ups on his fingers as he's pointing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all a little, yeah. I don't know. May I take it all back? That is a piece of shit. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was supposed to be funny, and so I don't have a problem with it.
I know. I think I rewatched a Venom scene recently with Topher Grace, and I was like, oh, I think this is supposed to be a little silly, too. I don't think he's supposed to feel like the greatest menace of all time. It's all a little ludicrous.
Totally.
So, yeah.
I feel like people like don't even remember these movies. Like, kids, or definitely kids don't know, like, Tobey Maguire was the original Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Do people care about these movies anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, think of how many of, like, people my age there are, you know, that watched Spider-Man 3 when they were, like, 13, and it was the biggest thing on the fucking planet. Like,
that's
it was
what
huge.
I've realized is, like, I think it's generational.
Because totally.
I will reference a movie as, like, a complete throwaway piece of garbage that a coworker of mine was 12 when they saw, and they're like, "You kidding me? No, Halloween Town was like my favorite. Halloween Town, this movie that I don't even fucking remember it. It was like the poor man's Hocus Pocus, or the poor man's Nightmare Before Christmas. And they and I know so many like 23, 24 year olds are like, Halloween Town was my shit.
Totally.
Like, really?
Every year, ever since I became this social media dude, I've discovered that Halloween Town is very important to a lot of people.
I don't.
That one made
it looks like a straight to DVD thing you'd find at like a Blockbuster.
I know,
doesn't it? Like even the cover of it.
Yeah,
like I don't get it at all. I thought Hocus Pocus was that thing. I thought that was like to me because like Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
And I'm not like Hocus Pocus was my life as a kid. Yeah. It was a fucking movie that was on Disney Channel sometimes. But like I don't know, like people. Yeah, it is that generational thing where some people are like Spider-Man 1 and 2, like those are the superhero movies. But then people who are probably like 15 are like The Avengers.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, something more recent, or like The Avengers Infinity War, like that just came out.
Well, even Lord of the Rings, to get it back to Frodo and Samwise, even Lord of the Rings, I was already old enough to where I was being a little shitty about movies. I was already kind of like, it fucking sucks. Mm. I mean, I think I liked one of them. I don't remember anymore.
Yeah.
But I was already in that kind of like film school zone of dumping on studio films.
Totally,
just being really hypercritical.
The Duplass brothers are so great.
Right.
They're so much better than these big studio movies.
Yeah. And I think, but again, I work with people that are like, the Lord of the Rings films are what made me want to be a filmmaker. And I'm like, oh, whoa. That was like fucking, you know, Goodfellas for me or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but generationally, things just hit. In such a different way.
Yeah.
I wonder if Austin Powers holds up. I haven't seen that in
years. Haven't rewatched that, but when I saw Austin Powers, I was like, fuck me, it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know? I had a Fat Bastard toy and everything.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Goldmember holds up.
Yeah.
Goldmember's that's the third one.
Okay.
Goldmember's funny.
With Beyonce?
And what's the guy from Batman who plays Alfred? Michael Caine is in that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
good.
There's not really, in a way, that genre of movie isn't around anymore.
No.
The big, broad, character-based comedies.
The crazy characters. I'm trying to think of
them. I mean, I was even trying to think of what, specifically because of Onyx, I was like, oh, what if I were to try to write a feature? Like, what's Onyx's Pee-wee's Big Adventure? And I was like, but who would even be receptive to that? Like, a broad comedy with a weird character at the center that's not personality based, like it's not Charlie Day or Jason Bateman. Well, it's Napoleon Dynamite, but even that's not really a thing anymore. I don't remember the last time I saw a weird, eccentric, comedic character creation hold up a feature.
Right. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
I don't know.
Borat was the last one.
Borat, definitely.
Totally.
But that was that was like a subversion of that where it's like, this is supposed to be making fun of America. This is just a total satire. Same with Bruno, which no one liked.
Right.
I love Bruno.
Really? I love Bruno.
It's so good.
There's a lot of parts of Bruno that I love.
Yeah. But But yeah, like that almost like even like something like The Nutty Professor or something like that. Like those movies just don't get made.
I was rewatching that the other night, and I know that this is going to make me sound so basic and kind of stupid, but rewatching it, I was like, this is a really good comedy. Mm-hmm. And that dinner table scene is such a well executed.
Wait, which one is this?
In The Nutty Professor. Eddie Murphy Nutty Professor.
Yeah, yeah.
But you would never these days, and I'm not like condoning every joke in that movie, because there's definitely some shit in that movie where I'm like, yoikes.
Yeah.
They would not get away with that now, and maybe they shouldn't get away with it now. Mm-hmm. But there were still like just such broad comedy and just commitment to that broad comedy and those characters. Like, yeah, he's going to play every character. Put him in a big fat suit and put him in,
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
And Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
And Eddie Murphy.
Maybe everybody's just a little too cynical for that kind of...
I think
that's
so, yeah.
What I think
wackiness.
I think
the wackiness,
comedy movies in general, dude. Like, you see every one of those movies that like Will Ferrell's in, or like Melissa McCarthy, and you can tell by the I haven't seen any of these movies, but you can tell by the poster, but that they're like these goofy comedies. Mm-hmm. They all bomb. They all bomb. They don't make their money back.
Yeah.
Every Will Ferrell movie, except for probably like Daddy's Home, has like not performed like they used to, and it's because like
Zoolander 2
it didn't perform, everyone hated it. It's just like that. It's just now comedy movies, they have to be comedy dramas.
Well, that's
they have to be introspective now.
The joke at the I didn't watch the Emmys, but I watched bits and pieces, and one of the jokes in the opening monologue that Colin Jost said was something about the category for best comedy, or as we call them, 30-minute long dramas, because even the comedies are grounded in the real world.
Totally.
You just never get the kind of absurdity. Like, one of my favorite shows growing up was Strangers with Candy.
Oh, yeah.
I never watched that. Yeah. I loved that show. And I don't know that a show exists right now that would be as surreal and absurd in its comedy and highly characterized, wacky fucking characters.
Maybe I'm being cynical, but I feel like people these days will view something like that and be like, this is corny.
I think so.
Be like, Probably, it's supposed to be corny.
Yeah. I think that is what the reaction would be.
God damn it.
There's no place for us.
We're being pushed out.
If Onyx had a show, he'd have to be like a real... You'd have to confront his depressive
demons.
Side.
Yeah, and his demons and his...
My dad really does hate me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit.
I guess it's just because of things. I think it's what has made everything, all entertainment, so introspective and so like raw is social media, because I think everyone's now seeing each other as just like people. Because like you would see like Chris Pratt or something, like a movie star, like on the street, and you'd be like, holy fuck, that's whoever that guy is. But now you can see him like tweeting and like Instagramming, and you just see what he's doing. You
the
see him like,
is gone.
Yeah, the veneer. Yeah. It's like he's just like a guy that like hunts, and you're just like, oh, okay, like he's just a guy like everybody else. And so now that like you're seeing these people who we once saw as like icons, be like so raw and just like, this is how I am as a person.
Yeah.
Now they're just like, it's making all entertainment. You have to look inwards instead of being like, blah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
I think it's more interesting, but I do miss those movies that you're talking about, like Borat or like Nutty Professor or like
Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura. Did I just? Oh shit.
Nope. You're good.
Broke everything. Broke everything.
Did I even plug everything or just my own mic?
Just my headphones.
But for you, the whole world disappeared.
Dude, that was so weird. That was like waking up from a dream.
Yeah.
Just oh god.
I think I was thinking about that as I was watching Jim Carrey do his press for Kidding, the new Showtime show.
Yeah.
And when I haven't watched the show yet, so I have no idea how big or small his performance is, but when he's been on these talk shows, he's still like old school Jim Carrey, and he does these big, broad bits, and it like almost was a shock to my system. I don't remember the last. He came onto Kimmel and did this whole bit about those bird scooters.
Yeah, we did.
You could just tell. I could be wrong, but you could tell. It felt like it was his idea of like, I want to come on this bird scooter, and then I'm going to pull someone from the audience to try the scooter out, and we'll have them go out the door, and then we'll cut to a pre-taped moment of that person getting hit by a bus, and then I'll scream about how the scooters are ruining everything. And it was such a big bit that I felt like I just hadn't seen anything like that in so long. Everything has to be introspective.
Even that show Kidding, like it's like a
super
comedy
dark,
it's a drama,
it's a deconstruction of that persona.
Yeah
exactly.
And it's like that's I mean I guess because like I also think maybe it's just creatively people are like, okay, we can't keep making these Nutty Professors because we're not being like, we're not getting any satisfaction creatively as like writing these things. So now let's do a deconstruction. But like, what's next after all this? Like they're doing, it's like we had these things, these characters, the like silly characters. Mm-hmm. Now we have to deconstruct those characters.
Right.
What comes next? What's after this?
Yeah. And I don't know what it, I'd love to see what, because everything I've heard from my friends that actually like have success in comedy on a bigger level, a level that I am not on, they're just like, I can't sell a comedy now. And they've written scripts that have sold for millions of dollars. And they're like, no one's buying comedy scripts because the last five, six, seven big comedies, you know, one of the biggest ones was Game Night. But even that, people were like, wow, but it didn't perform the way like it would have if it had come out 5 years ago.
Right.
I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what the next like giant comedy hit will be that is purely looking to make people laugh. Like one of my favorite movies is Dirty Work, which
I gotta rewatch that.
Oh man, the Norm Macdonald movie.
Yeah.
It is only concerned with being funny. It doesn't fuck with any sentimentality, any you know, earnestness. It's just about the jokes. And when something serious does happen, like Chevy Chase is in and he plays this doctor who he's going to be killed by a loan shark, I think, if he doesn't get a certain amount of money. And I think Norm Macdonald's character helps him, if I'm remembering it correctly, helps him get the money to pay off the loan shark. But in the final voiceover, Norm Macdonald's like, oh, but someone else came after that doctor, and I guess they killed him, so he's dead. So it's just like undid the whole point of the movie that the guy died anyway. But it was also just like a fuck you to the earnesty that most comedies feel like they have to have.
Yeah.
I hope the pendulum swings back to the wackiness.
I think it will.
For sure.
I know Zoolander came out soon after 9/11. I think Ben Stiller was like, I think this will be a good break from all the tragedy.
Right.
Like, just go out and see a silly movie. So now with all the, you know, the world
everything
falling apart.
Being dark, yeah.
Maybe there'll be
it's
room.
Possible.
Maybe there'll be room for a Rydune movie.
Yeah. No, I don't think there'll ever be room for that. But I think no, but I do think that there's, like that where when things get really dark, I think people need that, like, to pick me up.
Yeah.
Because it's like, all right, that's why all those musicals got made, like Sound of Music and everything, because it was World War II, and people needed a distraction from the current state of affairs, so they would go watch Singing in the Rain. They'd go watch those old movies, those old musicals. That's what they were made for. So, like, yeah, it's just like, I think that you're going to get a wacky, I don't know if it's going to be like Nutty Professor, like people in costumes, but I think you're going to get a movie that's like, but I don't know if it's going to be like a silly movie or if it's going to be like a dark comedy.
Right.
So I feel like dark, because Game Night was a dark comedy.
For sure.
So like,
maybe it'll have to kind of straddle the line for a while before we could ever get back to like an Ace Ventura.
Or like an Animal House or something like that. Yeah.
That'd be dope. Well, I know you got to get out of here soon. Let's watch this Jim Carrey clip.
The
scooter. And then we'll get the fuck out of here.
Is one of the most talented beings on this or any planet. He returns to the very thing that brought him to us, television, with a brand new show called Kidding. It premieres Sunday night on Showtime. Please welcome Jim Carrey.
Ooh, green screen.
Green, why is he green screen?
It's such a long bit, too, which I love. He just committed to this.
What is the audience clapping at right now? Are they clapping at this?
I don't know if they're seeing this pre-taped,
Let's see what this baby can do.
Jesus.
I'm out of order. You're out of order. This whole thing is out of order. I love it!
You can pick them up anywhere, and you can just drop them wherever you need to.
Yeah, yeah.
People, anywhere you want. People just love it.
I know. I guess they do. Yeah. It's weird.
Do you want to try it? Seriously, anybody can do it.
Yeah, go.
You're never too old to try something new. Come on, get your feet up there.
Okay. Drive it right out.
Gotta get a hold of your center of gravity. Now watch the throttle. It's a bit hot.
All right.
Okay, look at that. There she goes. Oh, my God. Jimmy. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it almost out?
Beautiful. It's just beautiful.
It's not a... It's not a foot-powered thing. It's...
It's not a foot power thing.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Oh my goodness. Oh, wow.
She's never been more alive.
Oh. Oh my gosh. Oh. Oh no.
She's never been more alive.
Oh shoot. Jimmy, what have we done?
I don't know.
What have we done, Jimmy? I feel like I didn't do anything, but yeah.
Oh, Jim. All right. Well,
that was the opening for the interview?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Like a 4-minute long scooter bit. By the way, my dad went to Catholic Memorial in West Roxbury. Let your mom know that. Yeah,
I will.
Catholic
so that means Memorial. He definitely fucked Rye's mom.
Definitely. Nice. That's the moral of this story.
What does that make you guys? Half brothers?
Yeah.
It just means his dad fucked my mom.
Right.
Nice.
That's it.
Nice.
That's all it means.
Makes us best friends. Well, Andrew Bowser, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I am relieved that you're not that real guy.
Right.
I'm relieved and disappointed.
Yeah.
That's
fine. I feel
fine.
Attacked.
Yeah. Most people... feel relieved and disappointed when they meet me. So, yeah.
But where can people find, what do you got, what's on the, what's on your radar?
Well.
What's in the future for Andrew Bowser, and where can people find you?
Well, people can find me, the best thing is my YouTube channel, which is Bowser Vids Totally, and then at Andrew Bowser on Twitter.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Everybody listening, go follow him and check out his videos. I saw your other stuff. You're really funny.
Oh, thank you.
And let's make some shit together.
Yeah, I'd be down. I've been going through a little bit of a drought, not really making my own stuff for a bit. Mm-hmm. And I kind of always around this time of year because Onyx is kind of gothic whenever Halloween comes around. I get the itch to do stuff with him. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I'll try to think of some ideas for that character.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, dude. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Bye. Let's end this by
Bye
saying...
Bye, Bowser.
Thank you.
Let's end this by saying, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right, that was Andrew Bowser. What'd you think? That was a good talk. I enjoyed him. I enjoyed him a lot. I hope to see him again in the future. Make some videos and stuff. Before we go, I just want to say thank you to our last sponsor of the show, which is Beachbody On Demand. You've heard me talk about Beachbody On Demand for a while now, but have you started your free trial? Have you done it? Well, I have, and I'll tell you, it's tough. Psych, it's easy. I'm so funny. My favorite workout is the T25 with professional trainer Sean T. Why do I love it? It's only 25 minutes a day, so it's not tough. It's easy. Check it out. They supply you with nutrition help, which is huge because success doesn't just happen in the gym. So Beachbody On Demand has tools to help make eating right easier. There are dozens of easy-to-follow meal plans and hundreds of delicious recipes. This is the best deal in fitness. Our listeners can try Beachbody On Demand right now for absolutely free. So what are you waiting for? Join the over 1 million people currently on Beachbody On Demand. And right now, my listeners get a special free trial membership when you text DAD to 303030. That's text DAD, D-A-D, to 303030. The numbers, 303030. You will get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and the support, totally free. Again, just text DAD to 303030.